Thank you, Mr. Goodell. I'd also like to thank the NFL, the New York Jets, and the Make-A-Wish Foundation of Northeastern New York for giving me this opportunity tonight. Yeah!
Attaboy. Let's get it.
With the 15th pick in the 2023 NFL Draft, the New York Jets, 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 select Will McDonald, linebacker, Iowa State. Let's go!
Yo, that kid was amazing. That kid was gosh. He was like, hype, get him up, get him up.
You know, stadium was crazy. Actually, it sounded so much better in the stadium than it did right there. Just like, you know, obviously because we were there hearing everything. So,
yeah, it was. Hello, everybody. Today is Sunday, April 30th, 2023. This is the Blue versus Green Show. I am your host, Walter, and guys, on either side of me, introduce yourselves.
I'm Gabe. What's up, y'all? I'm Jose.
All right. Before we get started, we got a little bit of maintenance that we got to get through. So let's start out with that.
It's your birthday today.
Jose!
Toast with your closest mates.
It's your birthday today.
Okay.
It's your birthday today.
Okay.
Grab your goodie bags. Open your gifts. Blow out your candles.
That was freaking
wow. Epic. Wow. That really was an epic song. Can I just make that my intro? I don't even, it doesn't have to be my birthday. That was like, what the hell was that? I just love the screaming goats throughout all of that. Thank you. Thank you very, very much for the acknowledgement.
Happy birthday, man.
It's a good birthday weekend, man. The Jets are actually possibly a good team for my birthday this year, my 43rd year on this earth.
Not even possibly. I would say most definitely, it seems like.
Pretty likely. We're going to have a pretty good year in New York, I think.
That makes a difference or not remains to be seen.
Well, we'll see. So, all right, we're done with our maintenance. Let's talk about it.
Our maintenance is done.
Thank you.
Earlier in the week, me and Gabe decided to head out to MetLife Stadium because they had a little thing over there. It was the NFL draft party. First time for both of us, right?
Yeah. I think it was awesome. It was an awesome experience. Thank you so much for coming up with the tickets and the invite.
Yeah. No worries, man. I thought it was an excellent experience. We got to hang out with a bunch of fans over there and stuff like that. We have a couple of little fan reaction videos we'll show a little bit later and stuff like that. But everybody was super pumped, you know. The stadium was electric. We were down on the field. We got locker room tours and stuff like that. I mean, overall, it was just a great experience.
Yeah, I think it was also super dope to literally see like what this show is about, which is the blue versus green field. Like everything was kind of split left and right, the blue on the left, green on the right, with like an aisle in the middle that has like, you know, essentially where the stage is and where the meeting, but like, you know, where the intermingling is. Yep. But it was just cool visually see blue versus green on the field. And then I made a, you know, comment note that like, this is the only place in sports, I feel like, that we have this, you know, where we can, where opposing teams can interact on a regular basis, you know, having the one shared stadium. So I actually don't necessarily think that it's the worst thing to share a stadium after seeing the fan experience at the draft party.
Yes, that is very true. And you know what? I think the biggest thing is that that stadium needs to be updated, you know, because you see all the new stadiums coming up and stuff like that. And there's some beautiful stadiums. And not to say that MetLife is trash, right? But to me, it always felt like it never had personality, right? It was just kind of like a rehash of the old Meadowlands Stadium. It was just, it's just kind of there, you know?
I mean, this might be the New Yorker in me, but maybe it has something to do with being in Jersey.
And then, it's a possibility.
Boring and
stadium. Yeah, I mean, compared to some of the other stadiums in the league, not too long ago, I went to Minnesota to see a game, the Vikings-Jets game, and that's an incredible stadium. You know, all due respect to the Vikings, you know, but that stadium is pretty freaking awesome and pretty epic, and the vibe was amazing. So, like, yeah, the one thing about the stadium in Jersey is maybe it needs a little bit of an update to bring it up to speed with some of the cool new arenas we see in the league. But
you know what sucks is because amazing. The other New York team is getting an update, Buffalo. So, you know, and that stadium looks beautiful. It really
Buffalo's not New York. You Buffalo's know, in Canada.
Well, Western New York / Canada, right?
Hey, let me ask you all something. Was that your first time on the field, or have you been on the field at MetLife before, or at the prior stadium?
First time for me. Yeah. And we got a chance.
That's gonna be awesome. That's gonna be
awesome. Was pulling out the new field, the turf. He was kind of like looking at it and just
like, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if like I don't know if that's just how it you know it's always been. But there was like a bunch of black, like tiny little specks, you know, basically like shredded, you know, bits of rubber. And I'm assuming that that's what the update to the field is has been added in order to make it a little bit safer for the athletes. You know, we all know that, like, you know, MetLife Stadium and the turf field that we've had has been the cause of more than a significant number of knee injuries. So they did a bit of an update. It's still turf, but it's an updated turf that's supposed to minimize the injuries. I don't know how. I don't know if this is a turf thing, a field thing, or if it's just because this is the one end zone that we were in, but it didn't seem very durable. I went to like the Jets area, and like it just seemed like the logo brushed off like it was nothing.
Oh no! We got a cheap logo in the end zone. I'm
pretty sure that the Jets, the Giants side, you know.
No, Jose, you bid for it. You went for it. He opened the door. You walked in, Jose.
So, it's preseason. The preseason logo. They're not. It's not permanent. That's all.
Yeah, but it was a really cool experience. Definitely, and you know, everybody in the stadium was super pumped. Everybody was really really feeling it. You know, the Giants fans were excited. The Jet fans were excited. We got to hang out a little bit with Bart Scott for like a quick minute.
He's actually quite cool, man.
Super
cool. He made the time. Like, even though
Mad Backer.
Yeah, he was there to host a draft party for the Jets, but he still made the time to like kind of in between takes come down and interact with the fans.
Yep.
So that was really cool.
And you missed out on a signed autograph football, right?
Yeah. Oh my God, dude! Like, what was it?
I think you went to go get hot dogs.
Yeah.
No. You're right. You went to go get your DJ jersey. And on the way back, we saw DJ. DJ was there chucking the balls, and you missed it, right?
But to set it up, though, our like first kind of introductory experience, like, hey, let's take a few minutes to walk around, take it in, see what this is like. So, you know, we I got there starving, so I went and grabbed like a hot dog right away. But we go and check out the field and everything that they got going on. And then I was like, you know what? Like, I felt out of place. I wanted to, we had already gone into the shop. I tried to see if I could get a jersey or something. I wasn't really happy with the selection of the jerseys, but I decided I'd come back, later. After that first purview of what the draft party is going to look like, I decided, you know what? I need to be rocking blue. The only Giants jersey I have literally does not fit me. So I needed it to update my wardrobe. So I went back. I was able to get this jersey. I wish it said Jones. I wish it said Dimes instead of Jones in the back.
Wait, can I ask real quick, what's your old jersey? What player is your old jersey? Out of curiosity.
Number 10, you know, but it's quite snug. It's like kind of like, you know, like those like old school, like practice jerseys where it's like almost like a halter top.
He used it as a crop top.
So were you a wee baby when you bought that?
No, actually.
Were you like a wee baby when you bought that? Why was it so small?
Like, I want to say now it's got to be, 2023? It was 15 years ago. I won that a bet against an Eagles fan. So
look at that. Our Gabe is all grown up now.
You know. Yeah, I was much, much thinner then, that's for sure. So we get back, we start running back. I'm rocking the jersey, I'm super hyped. We get back, and before we left, I was like, you know, yo, Walt, what are the chances that we see Aaron or DJ come out? And it was like,
literally,
you know,
literally, when you said it,
like, even I didn't think that was really gonna happen. We walk back into the draft party and we see some commotion, and Walt points out, like, yo, my man DJ's on the stage signing autographed footballs and throwing them into the crowd.
And Darren Waller.
I mean, yeah. I was just focused on DJ. I was like, what? And I started, like, you know, chucking and jiving and, like, you know, trying to get up in there like I'm Saquon Barkley. And I got into the middle of the crowd. There was one ball that was thrown just too far to the right for me to reach it. If I really, really wanted to, I think I definitely could have jumped on the crowd and, like, fought for it, but I didn't want to be that fan. You know, like, some little kid.
You should have dove for it slow motion. You know,
I didn't want to be that guy that, like, some little kid for the football. And, you know, some kid did end up winning the football. He was, like, completely overcome with emotion, like, tears running down his eyes when he realized that he caught the football. And he was wearing a Jets jersey.
Oh man, his parents are gonna sell that football, dude. That's messed up. Man,
you know what it is? He's gonna switch teams. This is one of those core memories. This is one of those moments that changes people's lives. I guarantee you that kid is rocking blue from now on.
Nah, it's
probably like when I saw Don, like, Mattingly like when Danny I was a kid.
Danny Dimes showed up. Where's Aaron? Aaron didn't show up.
He was at the Ranger game, I think, right?
Yeah, exactly. He was at
Well, not when y'all were there. That was yesterday. But when y'all were at the stadium, it was Thursday, I think, right?
That's true. Yeah. Well, that so, when
he was in a darkness retreat.
Because that, when you ran into the crowd, that was the first of many times that we got lost.
Oh, my God. You would think that with Walt being the biggest guy there, literally the biggest guy, with the shiniest head, that would be impossible for us to, like, for me to lose ball.
Listen, I was wearing my Breece Hall white jersey. I'm 6'3". I weigh 310 pounds. I kind of stick out in the crowd and stuff like that. And even with all of that, he still couldn't find me.
You just had to look for Walter and then look for, like, the tiniest person that you could find, your wife.
Exactly.
And that's how you confirm it. It's like,
kind of like the biggest issue, right? Like, she would kind of veer off and then you would be following her. And in my mind, I'm thinking, he's behind me. He should be following me. Like, why would he make a right if I'm going straight or I made a left?
I'll put it simple. If you're going hard enough left, you'll find yourself turning right.
And that's what constantly be happening.
It's all my wife's fault. Let's put it where it is. It's but all anyway, her fault.
Like, straight up, the draft party was a super dope experience. And we also, you know, got a chance to, like, kind of talk to some fans, interact with some fans, and we'll kind of get into that a little bit later. But we were there for the draft, you know.
Absolutely.
And, you know,
I was round one.
What do you guys think of the draft overall? Quick spoiler-free review. We got an actual show that we're going to talk about the draft specifically. So let's not spoil any of our thoughts. But I do kind of want to know, like, quick thoughts on what you guys thought about the draft specifically.
Well, I'll start. I'll be real quick about it. For me, this draft, especially for the Jets, and especially in the early rounds, it all boils down to one word: the trenches, right? Because the first, I think, three draft picks were all about offensive and defensive line. So I thought overall, you know, this wasn't a transformative draft like 2022 was. This was more of an iterative draft where it's like, you know what, we're just starting to take pieces. Nothing really sexy about this draft, but this was a draft about building depth for the Jets. For the Giants, I thought the Giants really knocked it out the park. I thought some of their picks were amazing. I think the Giants draft this year has the potential to be what the Jets draft was last year for these guys.
I agree with that. I
thought both teams drafted well, but in this particular case, I think the Giants are going to come out with a lot of really, really good players this year.
So I'm gonna go ahead and give my opinion really quickly. I'm just going to piggyback off of that, and I'll let you go ahead and talk to your team's draft and to the Jets draft, Gabe. So the thing for me is, to keep it as simple as possible, is with the Giants, like Walt said, I think y'all drafted some impact players that could maybe be, you know, maybe you'll see some offensive rookie of the year and defensive rookie of the year magic next year, like we did this year with some of the guys that you got. You filled your positions really, really well. I thought that, you know, defense was something that you had to address. You had to get some weapons. And without getting into too much detail, you did just that. With the Jets, it's a little different because, like you said, well, we weren't looking to add players like we were last year. We did so well in the last few drafts that we have some role players that are going to be on the team for years and years and years now. What we did yesterday was kind of fulfill Robert Saleh's adage of more bodies on the field, right? Next man up, right. Kind of. Because mm-hmm. if you look at the way that he runs the offense and the defense, he uses a lot of personnel. And I think that what we did yesterday was add some more bodies. Next man up, somebody who can get on the field and match up in certain situations on offense and defense at whatever position they're at. So I think that the Jets just plugged in some of the holes that we needed to plug in. We'll talk in more detail about like exactly who we got in comparison to who we were looking at. And yeah, the Giants, in terms of improving everything around their new franchise players, Daniel Jones and they did what they needed to do, I think, offensively and defensively.
So for me, the draft itself was, I don't know if it was because we were at the stadium for the draft party or whatnot, you know, being at the stadium might have heightened the experience and all, but I felt like it was quite dramatic, despite not necessarily having talent that was just, you know, sprawling on every single screen and every single team just like, you know, wanting for one, right? So to me, it was a very interesting draft. It was a lot of fun because of some, you know, stuff that was happening behind the scenes, some stuff that forced certain picks to be made. And what I do think overall, as far as the Jets and Giants, I think that we were both kind of like on opposite ends of the spectrum, you know, between last season and this season, and now we're closer to each other. You know, you guys had your squad, you guys drafted your squad and just needed your QB. We kind of have like our core with our QB set, even though he didn't have a contract, but we didn't have any weapons, so we kind of filled those holes up. And filling up holes is, I think, what this draft kind of exemplified. I think every single ship plugged a lot of their holes versus the draft being about getting a new captain, if that makes sense. Sure. So, yeah, and I'm super stoked to get into the draft. But, again, like I mentioned before, we were talking a little bit about a fan experience that we had over there. We had a chance to actually talk to some fans. Walt, do you have that video ready to go?
Yep, I'll pull it up right now.
And we need them to all pick quarterbacks so that we can get our picks later in the round.
Yeah. Well, of course, I hope we go defense. I hope the Giants go defense.
Yeah, so that's who do you think is going to go first pick for you? Who do you want?
To be honest with you, I don't know. I think it's a big defensive selection. There's going to be a lot of teams that need defense. I hope we don't get a scrub, but I don't know any names. Everybody's going
to
be tough.
We're all here to enjoy each other. I don't think we're getting a pick tonight.
We're here to celebrate Aaron Rodgers, baby.
We're here to celebrate a real quarterback, baby.
There you go. That is what I'm talking about. Aaron Rodgers for one time. Oh, I love it. Love it.
There it is. Jet fans, here we go. 1, 2, 3. J-E-T-S. Jets.
All right. Pick for the for a draft pick. What do you think is going to happen tonight with the Jets and Giants?
Well, I hear through the grapevine that the Giants are going to make a bust-buster trade and move up. Okay. So hopefully it'll happen.
And you know? Jets, you think Jets doing anything?
Jets, they should.
No, Jets are doing nothing.
Oh, absolutely. Like to see Aaron freaking Rodgers, the four-time MVP. I mean, how could I not be ecstatic about this team when Joe Douglas was drafted both rookies of the year last year? I mean, come on.
Yeah, definitely.
At the end of the day, I'm putting my faith in Joe Douglas. Absolutely.
There you go. I love it. Let me talk to your Giant guy over here, because we are the blue versus green show. So, 25th pick. Who do you think we're going for?
I like Jordan Addison. We need a wide receiver one. We needed a wide receiver. We have Slay in. You know, I think they're going to develop over time still. But Jordan Addison, I think, will be a great selection.
Nice. How do you feel about Aaron Rodgers coming to the Jets?
Boo! Because, listen, he's an old guy. He did a lot of interceptions last year. I'm hoping for a Jets and Giants Super Bowl. That's what I'm hoping for.
That'd be sick.
That would be super dope. Listen, I don't want to hate on the Jets and that. I wanted to make it so we can make it.
Hey, it's literal heaven. We got a real legitimate shot to actually make a run for the Super Bowl. We haven't had this in years. I mean, come on. Josh McCown, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Sam Darnold, Zach Wilson. Like, what are we doing? Aaron Rodgers is here. Discount, double check.
Yes.
We are winning the Super Bowl this year.
There you go. One really big Hulk smash.
Hulk smash!
Do you think we're doing Jets-Giants in the Super Bowl this year?
I would love to see that.
Come on, I mean, it could happen, right?
I would love to see that.
I would love to see that. I think it's going to be the Eagles or Niners. I would love to see Jets-Giants Super Bowl, though.
That's beautiful.
We win our stadium. It's our home, baby. It's our home.
Jets.
Woo! Wow! Oh. What the heck? Whoa. What the heck? Oh my gosh! Wow! Jets! Oh my gosh! Whoa!
What?
Yo! Look at that!
Unexpected. That is unexpected to say the least.
That was a super fun experience, man.
Yes,
I'm telling you. You know, and those guys were good.
The reaction to the first pick of the night that we were looking, you know, that we were there for, the Jets pick.
Yeah, that Jets pick was completely out of control, to be honest. But you know what? If we think about it, it does make a little bit kind of sense in a way, because We had whatchamacallit. At the time when we were drafting, we were looking at Paris Johnson, we were looking at Peter Skoronski, we were looking at Darnell Wright, Broderick Jones, and you know, in perfect Patriots fashion, they screwed us by allowing the Steelers to jump ahead of us and take Broderick Jones. So, you know, at that point, Joe Douglas, he just had to pivot at that point. And I think he pivoted in the right way, because if you look at this, the guy that he took, Will McDonald, he's a little undersized, but man, if you look at... No, yeah, I know, because you know what? He's a good complement to what we have, because we have a lot of powerful rushes here. And he's a speed guy.
He's athletic as hell.
Athletic as hell.
One of the most athletic Probably most the videos, athletic right? linemen at the draft, right? I would say.
Yeah. Have you seen the videos?
Yes, yeah, I have.
There's videos of him jumping over cars and stuff like that, and dunking.
Parkour.
Like
yeah.
Parkour. So, the way I look at it is this, and Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh truly, truly are building San Francisco East over at East Rutherford, right? Because you look at the level of talent that any opposing quarterback is going to see, you know, from the edge. You've got Will Anderson, you've got Carl Lawson, you've got Jermaine Johnson, you've got JFM, you've got Bryce Huff. I mean, you know, it's going to be a constant barrage, and Will Anderson is part of it, and he brings something different. So I think it's a great pick in terms of, you know, the more I think about it, the more I like the pick.
Well, let me ask you, do you really think that Bill Belichick did it purposely to screw the Jets, or was it just a
it was both.
I think it was good for the Patriots, and I think the added bonus is I get to screw the Jets. So. Yeah,
right. The icing on the cake.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know? I think so. Yeah, I mean, I think us being in the same division, I mean, it does make sense for them to try to sabotage us a little bit. So I get it, but Robert Kraft and Bill Belichick are fucking haters, and. You know, it's a little much, but yeah, that was a bit of an annoying way that they kind of pulled that off. But they got a player that they needed also. You know, they traded to make the move to get a wide receiver because they don't have anybody on offense, really. And I mean, if Mac Jones is going to be their quarterback of the future, they need somebody for him to throw to. But yeah, it's definitely, to me, it's a little bit of both, because they saw the opportunity to sabotage the Jets a little bit. They knew that the biggest thing we needed was an impact offensive lineman. And we got some offensive linemen that I think are going to do quite well. But they saw a chance to sabotage us and get their wide receiver man, and they went for it. And I think in an interview, one of the GM of the Patriots was asked if they did this kind of to screw over the Jets, and he had a smirk on his face while he was answering the question and saying, oh, we just did this to get our man, essentially, paraphrasing. So I think they made it clear that they were happy to mess the Jets up while getting their man.
All right.
Yeah.
What did you think about your Giants pick, Deontay Banks? Oh,
so it's I was going to say, kind of moving, you know, our very first pick with Deontay Banks. Everybody knows I was looking for a wide receiver. That fan was talking about Addison, who I was also looking forward to having as a potential option. All the wide receivers were kind of taken. All the big name was all the wide receivers that we were looking at, I think, were already taken. We ended up getting with Deontay Banks. But I mean, couldn't be happier, you know. I think that you know, it's essentially exactly what we needed. We know that we're going to go either wide receiver or corner. And, you know, once the wide receiver options are gone, you know, we still filled a big hole that we still needed in Deontay Banks. So I'm super excited about that. So he's athletic. He's strong. He is, you know, he's got like, as they say, he's got that dog in him. So, you know, looking forward to see what we do with him in, in a blue jersey.
What about your second round pick, John Michael Schmitz?
You know, to be honest with you, I don't know too much. But again, he does also, like, fill in more of what we need, right? Like, the offensive line is something that's been huge for us, something that we've needed to address for, like, the longest time. And again, so like this kind of goes back to, like, you know, the faith that I have in Shane. I feel like Shane's been doing all the right moves. Pardon. Mm-hmm. I feel like Shane's been doing all the right moves ever since he got into the position that he's in, and he sees the needs that we have and he fills them as soon as possible, as soon as he can, you know, in the right way also, because everybody knows that we've been in cap hell. He did the right decisions of, like, holding onto the picks so that he can, you know, fulfill some of these gaps that we have with our picks. And, you know, the O-line is one of the biggest things that we you know, been having issues with. I'd like to see it padded a little bit more. But even following that, you know, again, we still need more wide receivers. And our third pick was also, you know, wide receiver in Jalin Hyatt. You know, super happy that he was actually still available by the time.
You really liked him also, right?
Yeah, yeah, I did. I liked him a lot. I didn't think that he would be available down pick 73, though, to be honest. And to be honest with you, too, like, that was kind of like a underlying current with the draft. I think that there were a ton of people that were projected to go out early, and they didn't. But yeah, then a ton of others that, you know, just ended up being available way, way later. And, it, you know, for us, it's kind of a boon, you know. 73 picks later and being able to get Jalin Hyatt, fine by me.
I think that was a steal. I think that was one of the best picks that y'all made in terms of value. All the other picks are great, but I had my kind of – I was a little apprehensive about y'all picking Jalin Hyatt because he's a little undersized. But if you look at what's going on with him recently, he understands that. He was at 175 in college. He's gained like 10 pounds in like a few months. So he's addressing what I think is his biggest weakness, quote unquote, which is his size. So, yeah, and that's, again, that's for him to fall that far, incredible for the Giants, I think.
Yeah, that picture that I sent you about him, he looked mad skinny, you know. I was shocked at how skinny. Because, you know, at the very least, you know, you look at these guys and their thighs are, like, super defined and super built, and he was just like a walking stick. He's definitely going to have to gain some size and muscle when he gets in there. But you know what? That's something that's going to happen with a lot of these guys. You know, they come in, you know, they still have to fill out.
They're like 10 years from their prime anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, these are college kids, you know.
Exactly.
We got time to gain weight.
Totally not worried about, you know, his weight issue and stuff like that, because he's gonna get it. If not, definitely not for this year, but within the next couple of years, you're gonna see him fill out very, very nicely. He's got that type of frame. Let's talk.
He's at like 188 pounds already, so give him a year. He'll gain another 5-10 pounds, and he'll be a perfectly sized receiver. Go ahead, Walt. Sorry about that.
No, that's fine. Let's talk real quick, me and Jose, about Joe Tippmann, because he was a little bit of a surprise. I mean, he's a very good center for us, but I kind of felt that we were probably a little bit better served taking the guy that the Giants took, John Michael Schmidt, because John Michael Schmidt seemed, you know, a lot of people had rated him as the number one center, and he was still available for us at the time that we took Joe Tippmann. So I'm a little surprised at the fact that we didn't go Michael Schmitz, but Joe Tippmann is a beast.
I think that, yeah, we wanted to get a little bit of size on the line there. I think that that's like kind of what they were going for there. He's one of the biggest guys in the draft in terms of offensive linemen. Although, what's the pick for the Giants that we were looking at? John Michael Schmitz, excuse me. He's a big guy, and he's also pretty quick and athletic, but, you know, I mean, breaking it down, I think that both of these guys would have been a good fit. It's a little upsetting that we didn't get some of those top four linemen that kind of went in the first round of the draft, yeah, but I think considering what we had available, you can't really say that it was a bad pick to get Tippmann.
No, not at all.
Whether or not he'll be better than Schmidt remains to be seen. The Schmitz will basically be seen. But I think that when you're the Jets and you're scheming on the offensive line, he fits in well in what we have there. Although it looks like the Jets might move around some of their linemen based on some of these selections, move around some of the linemen that we already have. We'll see what happens in the season coming up.
Yeah.
Overall, though, I'm happy with the fact that even though they didn't focus on an offensive lineman in the first round, they tried to get the best impact defensive player they can get in Will McDonald. I'm happy that they at least took the time to focus in the second round and address an issue that we knew was a big one for our team, because we got to protect our quarterback, especially our almost 40-year-old quarterback, keep him off the ground, keep him healthy in order for this to be a success story. Because again, we talked about Brett Favre, great start, 8-3, got injured, season went to hell from there. So we don't want to see that happen again. We don't want to see an entire deja vu of that Brett Favre situation with the Packers.
Right.
Well, today, I don't know. I spoke to you guys beforehand about like the whole 65% clause. 65% of 17 games is yeah, it's 11 games, which was
11 point something or whatever.
11 games.
But you know what's going to happen, right?
Brett Favre's record, 8-3.
You know what's going to happen, right? We're going to go 10-1, right? And then we're going to sit Rodgers for the rest of the year. And then our pick next year will be the second round for the Packers will be the second round. We keep our first and we still make the playoffs.
You really think that that's what's going to happen?
No, I'm just kidding. but listen,
it's just
six straight
kind of contract. The fact that it's real funny that, you know, aside from the fact that there's the obvious battle of like who's the king of football in New York between the Jets and the Giants, but now you have a true battle of the eights, you know, both quarterbacks wearing the eights. And now you're going to have a true battle of centers, you know, with JMS and Tippin and stuff. And, you know, JMS being the top ranked prospect in the, as far as centers go in the draft. Yep. Again, super surprising that we were able to catch him. I would say actually that the Giants, now thinking back on it, the Giants got really lucky with some of the picks that we got.
They did. They did. I just, before we move on, I want to, you know, piggyback on something that Jose said. And by the way, Aaron Rodgers' salary cap hit this year, $1.5 million. Anyway.
Some change.
Yeah, some change. Right? Talking about protecting Aaron Rodgers, right? And you had mentioned that Joe Tippmann is a big fatty. The Jets' offensive line has the potential to be really good. Now, of course, it all depends on whether they're healthy, but let me just read off the sizes of some of these guys. Mekhi Becton is 6'7". Joe Tippmann is 6'6". Dwayne Brown, 6'4". Elijah Vera Tucker, 6'5". Connor McGovern, 6'4". Max Mitchell, 6'6". Lakeland Tomlinson, 6'3". And a guy that we took in the draft, what's his name? Carter Warren, 6'5". So that offensive line is huge.
Yeah. Aaron again?
What was that?
How big is Aaron?
He's not a small man. I think
he's like about 6'2", 6'3".
Yeah, but I mean, like, that's what I'm saying. In comparison, he's just going to be like, okay, these are all my big brothers.
Yeah.
He's
6'2", 225. So. Right. He's gonna have to hop to throw over them, but I think he'll be okay.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And I think and we just lost Gabe, but that's fine. He'll be back.
He's tired of talking about the Jets right now, I guess.
What is that pillow? I have questions. Look, I need answers. What is that pillow?
That was Bluey. I thought that was Bluey from Blue's Clues for a second, but it's certainly not. It looks like some sort of upside down dog. But anyway. Yeah.
But yeah, I just think again, this offensive line, again, potentially can be a really, really good squad for this team. You know, if we get anything from Mekhi Becton,
because Mekhi Becton, blue dog.
Is that what was that?
It's the same as
the blue dog. It's Bluey.
Blue dog.
You remember Peanut?
My. Yes, I do. You made paraphernalia around Peanut?
I personally did not.
Okay.
However,
I kind of know who did it. So, I understand.
We'll leave that story for another day. But I didn't even realize that I have the peanut pillow behind me, as well as the. I mean, I knew about the coffee mug, but I didn't really think about the fact that.
That is freaking awesome. That is freaking awesome. All right, let's get into the second round. Let's get into rounds 4-7 because we've already done the first, second, and third round. Let's get 4-7. Gabe, what did you think about some of the guys that Joe Shane picked up?
So let's go ahead and detail like the rest of the picks, you know, with round five because we've moved up. Our round four pick. We traded up our round four pick in order to move up. We got round five pick 172 running back Eric Gray, round six pick 209 another corner Trey Hawkins III from Old Dominion, which I like a lot just from what I've been seeing and reading, and in round seven with pick 243 and 254 we got Jordan Riley, a defensive lineman, and defensive back Javarius Owens from Houston.
Owens was your comp pick, again, by the way. Huh? Owens was your comp pick, by the way.
Yes.
So
yes,
he was exactly a compensatory pick.
Yeah. So, to be honest, just looking, you know, at the sheet, it's really easy to see that, like, the we were just filling all the holes that we need. I don't know too much about Eric Gray. I did think that we were going to pick up a running back. I think almost like as a safety net, you know, as a new Saquon Barkley prospect or project, essentially drafting his replacement. It'll take 2 or 3 years before he can really kind of fill in his role. I could see him going, kind of getting put into special teams, a la, Tiki, you know, starting his career in special teams and then becoming a running back, you know, full-time after. Mm-hmm. I think there's going to be some time for him to develop while we either, if Saquon is still on the team, you know, I don't think that he would have a huge role until after the Saquon situation is kind of dealt and done with. I don't think personally that Saquon's going to be here for more than another year. But even if he is, any running backs that we pick up now are only going to kind of really see an expanded role after this first year. But I do think that generally, like, you know, again, Shane, you know, topic of the draft or you know, he went out there focused on getting the corners and bolstering up our defense and stuff. So I thought it was really awesome. You know, still remains to be seen on how we use some of these draft picks, or rather how we use some of these pickups. Yeah,
I do find the pickup of Eric Gray interesting. He's a 5'9" 207-pound runner. My understanding, he's a one cut runner, so he's
a lot of 5'9"ers.
What was that?
A lot of 5'8" and 5'9"ers in this draft.
Yeah. I mean, there's this draft, like you said earlier, was very, very interesting because, you know, the draft was really probably top heavy in terms of, you know, the first 10 picks, truly. But then after that, you know, there wasn't any standout stars that you really, really saw and stuff. So it was interesting that a lot of people fell in the draft, like you had said, you know. And B, a lot of people, a lot of older players as well, you know, that was the thing. A lot of guys with a lot of experience that stayed through college for their entire 4-year career, right, and stuff. So that was a little bit interesting. But Eric Gray, like I said, he's an interesting runner. He's a one cut runner. So you're not going to see him, you know, doing a lot of flashy things, but he's a very, very workhorse type running back, from what I understand. I haven't really looked a lot at him.
Right, exactly. You know? That's why it reminds me of T.E. Barber.
You know? Right, and it's a good change of pace.
Like, just like, I have one job, I'm going to do it well. You know, these are my routes, and that's it. You know what I mean?
Exactly, and it's a good change of pace, and it lightens Saquon's Barkley's load for the year if he does come back to play this year. I've heard a couple of things where, you know, those negotiations aren't going exactly as well as we thought, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, like, what, he's not going to play?
No, he's going to play, you know what I'm saying? But it's good that you have a guy there, you know, to kind of like you said, kind of like maybe he's his replacement, maybe not. But this is a good way to kind of like get him into place and see exactly what he is. Yeah. In terms of some of the other guys, Javarius Owens is a very interesting pick for you guys. He's that safety from Houston. I thought, and he's got potential there. You guys do need a safety with the loss of Julian Love, right?
Yeah.
So I thought Which that he was a very good pick.
To be honest with you, I was still very surprised. I didn't necessarily love Julian Love, but I liked him. He was like a good team guy, you know. Like I felt like one more year and he would have, like, you know, cemented himself a giant.
Yeah. So we'll see how all of that stuff pans out. Jose, in terms of the Jets,
yes,
rounds 4 through 7, right. Go.
Rounds 4 through 7. All right. So our fourth round pick, Carter Warren. I think we can keep this one simple. Like you talked about, this is just another massive human being that the Jets pulled at the offensive line. And he's not only, you know, big in terms of height and weight, he's got wingspan, which I think is going to be very beneficial in terms of the offensive line. Obviously, you want somebody that can get that reach, not holding anybody, but just kind of use his length and his size and his more than average athleticism for his size as well and speed in order to pull off those blocks. I think, again, like it isn't exactly what we wanted to get in this draft when you're talking about the linemen, but I think that the Jets did a great job of plan B in this sense and finding the right players to fill the holes that they needed to fill. Again, not the ideal, but next man up, role player, somebody with the right physical skills, somebody with the right mental skills to really help the Jets out. And, you know, he's great in terms of pushing through injury. That's something that the Jets have issues with. He's somebody that can play a little bit injured. He's a very intelligent player. So I think that he's going to be a really, really solid pick to fill some holes in the Jets offensive line.
And a jersey boy.
I'm pretty happy with this one.
And a jersey
boy. He's from Patterson, right? I think they showed that phone call where he was talking to Robert Saleh. He's like right down the road. Yeah, he's like 15 minutes away from the stadium.
Yep.
So that's cool too. He's really excited to play for the team, which obviously you want to see. He's really excited to play for the hometown team. Mm-hmm. So I'm happy with this pick. Again, it is the best plan B I think that we could have gone with in this case.
Yeah. You know, he's a little problematic because he does have a lot of penalties. So, you know, maybe he, like you had said, he's utilizing that big reach, but he's not utilizing it in the right way. But that's something that you can teach out of him. So I'm not too worried about that right now. You know, he's going to be projecting as a backup, you know, and if he grows into something else, then that's great because the guy has size, and size in the NFL does matter, right?
Give a break to some of our linemen as well so they don't get hurt. So
exactly.
I'm happy with that.
So to round out the rest of the draft, the Jets also picked Israel Abanikanda, running back from Pitt. They had Zaire Barnes, the linebacker from Western Michigan, Jarek. I love this guy's name, by the way. Jarek Bernard Converse, defensive back from LSU. Try and say that three times fast, you know? And the last pick is 7th round, 220 overall, Zach Kuntz, the tight end from Old Dominion.
Kuntz.
And it's funny you say that because he's one of the guys that I'm genuinely excited about. Him and Abanikanda. Out of all of those guys, I think Zaire Barnes is probably going to be a special teams guy. You know, he's a very, very quick linebacker. He's got speed. And the same thing with Bernard Converse. I think these guys are all special teams guys. These guys are going to be – they're going to have to work their way in there. And, you know, Bernard Converse has the luxury to learn from Sauce Gardner and DJ Reed.
Right.
So he's got the potential to do some good things. But the two that I'm really excited about, like I said, Abanikanda and Zach Kuntz. Abanikanda is I believe he's 5'11", 227 pounds. This guy he's got game breaker written all over him. And the fact that we got him at 143 just boggles my mind because, and again, this probably has to be, you know, yeah. And I think this has to be partly because of the devaluing of the running back, because this guy has a lot of talent. Now I know he played in Pitt, you know, but he broke, I forgot who the guy's name, 320 yards in the game with 6 touchdowns. You know, I mean, the guy has real speed. He gets to the second level very, very quickly. A tough guy to bring down. So I think he perfectly complements what we have in that room, in that running back room with Breece Hall, Michael Carter, Bam Knight. You know, he just slots right in there. And that, again, kind of a theme with the Jets. It's next man up, and you're constantly rotating guys in. And so, you know, think about that defense that has to worry about a guy like Breece Hall. And then after that, when Breece Hall gets tired, you got to put in Michael Carter, Bam Knight, and now you got Abanikanda who could break a game, you know, with just one run. You know, a lot of 70-yard runs you've seen on his tape, right? But the guy that I'm super, super fascinated about, Kuntz. This guy is a literal freak. And I don't know if you guys read this, but his testing in terms of measurables in athletics, 10 out of 10, which has never happened in the NFL draft before. The guy is 6'7", 225 pounds. And in his scheme, a lot of the times he kind of lined up as a receiver instead of a tight end. The mismatch is there. And with the NFL, it's all about mismatches. You want to try and, you know, get mismatches as much as you can, because that's how you win games.
Right.
And if you're looking at a guy that's lining up wide, 6'7" against 5'8", 5'9" corners, I mean, what do you think is going to happen? Now, with him, one of the things that he needs to work on is pass pro. You know, he's not the greatest blocker, and he needs some polish in terms of route running. But if this guy puts in the work, I'm going to tell you that 5 years from now, we're going to look back at this and we're going to say that he's the steal of the draft. That's my opinion on Zach Kuntz, because that's how high I am on him. You know, the guy is an athletic freak. And again, with the Jets and with Joe D, he picked a lot of athletic guys. He really, really did. And so, you know, I'm excited about that.
Yeah, I think, again, like I said before, like, it just feels like the theme of the draft is just, you know, ships plugging holes, you know.
Yeah.
The Jets, I think, were already a relatively deep team. But I think not necessarily, I would say not necessarily the team that maintains the best health. You know, I feel like, you know, and I think getting these big bodies, getting people that can fill in holes when somebody goes down, somebody gets injured, I think is going to be a huge boon for you guys. Same thing with Giants. I feel like, you know, again, plugging the holes that we need, which is protection and, you know, some more weapons that we were able to pick up here with a wide receiver and running back. So we'll see how everything kind of plays out in the season. So,
all right. Yeah. So
just real quick, that's the last point I wanted to mention. I know you talked about some of your favorite players in Kuntz and Audiobanda, but I'm actually a little bit excited about Bernard Converse for one simple reason, not because I think he's going to be a game-breaking player in any sense. We were talking about getting a safety and how we needed a safety in this draft, and he's probably going to slot into special teams a lot, but the thing that I like about him is that, like you said, he's athletic, but he's also diverse in terms of the position he plays. He's lined up at corner, he's lined up at nickel, and he's lined up at safety. And he's a solid tackler. That's one of his best attributes. He's a really solid tackler, which is one of the things we need at safety. So, again, you can slot him in at safety for certain situations where you need a stop. And I think that that's something that is a bit underrated in terms of this pick, and I'm excited about them as well.
Yeah, one thing that I do want to point out in terms of the Jets before we kind of wrap this thing up, the Jets, and this, again, kind of goes with kind of the theme that I was talking about. A lot of their guys are 24 and older, which is pretty interesting. And so it's strange to hear that where you say that you've got a bunch of guys that are 24 years old and just starting their careers in the NFL. But I think it kind of goes to the fact that Joe D was kind of looking for experience as well, because we're in a win now situation. We're in win now mode, right? And so I think bringing in guys that have been seasoned, been at college for 4 years, started, had a lot of snaps, don't have to teach them that much, don't have to get them. You know, I think that probably had something, you know, and may have factored in some of these decisions, excuse me. Some of these decisions that Joe D made when it came to drafting some of these guys, he's looking at this and saying, you know what, we have Aaron Rodgers for maybe 2 years at best. You know, if we get a third year, that's gravy. We need to get guys in here that can kind of, you know, help the team out right away. You know,
that have experience. You know, like not guys that have played for like just 1 year and are jumping into the draft. People that have like done their time. I mean, JMS himself, he's also 24, you know, ran through his entire college career before he jumped into the draft. So I think that, you know, making that point, I think is also something that we need too, because for example, what the eyes say, I mean, you guys, well, at least Walt, you beg to differ, but what I feel like our biggest issue in the playoffs and not performing last year, you know, for the Giants, especially when it came down to facing Philly, is just, you know, young guys that get rattled, that just haven't been there, that don't feel like they don't have the experience to kind of like push through it. You know, getting anybody that has some worthwhile experience is going to help, you know. So getting these guys that have, even though it's still college, you know, I mean, we know that you know, these college games can get rowdier than NFL games. So,
that's true.
You know, when it comes to, you know, representing, you know, schools and teams and the craziness of college football and stuff, I think that, you know, you cannot discount, you know, the experience that people come into the NFL with this kind of with college experience, with worthwhile college experience, not just one or two seasons. So,
right.
You know, plus a maturity thing too. You know, I think like, you know, 24 is a big difference from 19, 20 years old, 21 even. And stuff.
Exactly. You know, so let's wrap this up. Do you guys want to give graph trades? I mean, oh my gosh, what did I just say?
Graph trades.
Graph trades. I'm a little dyslexic today. I haven't had coffee this morning, so you know. Do you guys want to do some draft grades on each of your teams?
Sure. Jose, sure. You want to go first and I go? This way it'll be you know, the man in the middle. That's not
sure. So the Jets draft. I'm gonna give the Jets, it's tough to really narrow down. I'm just gonna say a B. I'm not gonna give them an A because we kind of got out of maneuvered a little bit. It's something we might have seen coming had we been thinking about like what some of the other teams in the division were gonna do. But I think even after like the first round didn't go exactly according to plan and we lost four offensive linemen that we were looking at that we were really coveting, we, like I said, we covered some of those holes admirably. We filled almost all the positions that we had a need for. And if we didn't fill that position specifically, like I said, we have some diverse players that can slot into that position temporarily or if need be or in certain situations. So, again, it was just about plugging certain holes. It wasn't about a game-changing player in any way. We got some of those players in the last few years. We got that in our quarterback. We got our game-changing quarterback. We just needed more bodies, like we've said many, 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 many times before. So I would say this is a B. It was a really, really solid draft. It wasn't the perfect draft, but I think that it will definitely improve the team this season and hopefully take us to the Super Bowl versus the Giants.
All right.
Mr. Gabe.
I want to go with an A minus. An A or an A minus, something like that. Only because, like, we did, you know, considering where we were in, you know, in the lineup, you know, being number 25 or 24, moving up to 24, you know, I think that we, like, with what we had and what we had available, you know, we killed it. You know what I mean? I mean, one could make the argument that we could have traded up more. We could have traded up a little bit higher so that we could catch one of those wide receivers. But I don't think that it was necessary considering that we needed a corner and we needed, you know, to keep our positions, you know, so that we can get like, you know, JMS and stuff. So, I think there's not a single pick here that I don't like, you know, and there's not a single pick here that doesn't fulfill a giant need, literally. So I don't see how it could have been made any better, with the exception of maybe trading a couple of those later picks up to move up a little bit higher and possibly getting a wide receiver. But then do we miss out on Deontay Banks, right? Do we get a Addison and then, you know, save it for Deontay Banks and then miss out on JMS? I don't know. So that's my feeling on it.
All right. Well, since I'm man in the middle between these two guys, I'm going to hit both at the same time real quick. For the Giants, I kind of agree with you, Gabe. It's an A for me because, you know, it has the potential to be a very, very good draft for you guys. You know, Deontay Banks is a guy that fits Wink Martindale's scheme perfectly. You know, he's a press man beast. So, you know, he's gonna be really well. John Michael Schmitz, again, that's a guy that I wanted, you know. So, you know, I think he's going to be there anchoring that line for the next 10 years in blue. Shed a little tear. But you know what? We did all right ourselves and stuff. So I think the Giants did very, very well. You should be very, very happy with Joe Shane's. What is this, his first real draft, or is this his second?
No, it's his first real draft.
First real draft. Then you got to be excited because
excited. Like yeah, I said, Shane has been, you know, he's been. I'm calling him Shane O'Mac from now on because he's been killing it.
Yeah, I'm telling you, he had a very, very good draft.
Front negotiations, management, draft picks. Like I can't wait to see like what the what it's all going to kind of culminate to when the season actually starts.
Yeah, and you know what. The offseason is still not over because you guys, and both Jets and Giants, signed a ton of undrafted free agents last night. So, you know, there's still filling needs. And you know what? We still have free agents that are out there, guys like Al Woods, guys like, you know, the safety from Tennessee. I can't remember his name. Pro Bowl guys. So there's a lot of guys that you can still potentially sign. For the Jets, I'm going to kind of agree with Jose. I think I'm going to say it's a B also, because again, like I had said before, this was not the draft where we were going to be sexy. And this was not the draft that this was a draft literally for filling needs.
You weren't going to be sexy and you know it.
Exactly. You know, this was just filling needs. And I think they did really well. There are some injury concerns, and a lot of the guys that the Jets drafted, especially in the late rounds, were guys that were injured last year. And so there is potential there that those guys probably could have gone higher than what they did. And you know what? It's the ultimate low risk, high reward for Joe Douglas. You know, at best, these guys fill a need, you know, get bodies into the organization, you know, special teams will definitely be improved by these guys. And you know what? Maybe you get a potential starter or two out of them. So overall, like I said, I think it's for both teams, they had a very, very good draft weekend.
Yeah, I thought it was awesome. And I can't wait to do the draft party next year again.
Hell yeah.
It's going to be fun.
All right. So that's the Blue versus Green show.
Yes, indeed. Thanks everybody for joining us once again for an awesome show, for our draft special, for our NFL draft special. And we're really, really excited for this upcoming season. For all of you out there who took the time to watch the show with us today, be sure to like, rate, share, and subscribe. You can find us on all your favorite social media platforms. You can find our podcast everywhere. You can find us on YouTube, and you can find us on all your favorite podcast platforms as well. But with that said, I guess there's nothing left to say today except signing off and go Giants and go Jets. Let's go New York. Peace.